If you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 11. Hosea, chapter 11. God willing, we'll be expounding verses 3 through 4. Hosea, chapter 11, verses 3 through 4. And the title of the message is A Departure from Grace. A Departure from Grace. Give everyone time to turn there. Ever since the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis, nations have continued to rise and nations have continued to fall. And some nations have experienced an extraordinary rise to power, achieving world dominance and profound wealth. Our nation has been one of them. Only to have another nation come and take their place on the global stage. It's just what has happened since the beginning, ever since the Tower of Babel. And nations aren't the only entities that have experienced this climatic rise and dramatic fall. But businesses have, families have, individuals, they've also experienced this as well. Every family is just one generation away from ruining the family name. Good men have passed down their good names to their children, only to have their children squander their name, squander their wealth, and wisdom due to their foolishness. What keeps a nation great, a family great, and a business great, and a person great, largely depends on them understanding what made them great to begin with. It's very important. Being successful is far easier than becoming successful and remaining successful. Whether a nation, a business, or a person, if you're successful, it's good to know where you are, but it's better to remember where you come from. Better remember how you got there. And at the beginning of this chapter in Hosea 11, God reminded Israel, and thus God reminded us, how they got into the promised land. What got you here in the first place? What made you great as a nation in the first place? The current generation that Hosea is writing to, they inherited the land that flowed with milk and honey. They didn't get there. They didn't fight the battles to get there. They didn't cross the desert. They didn't come out of Egypt through the Exodus. They inherited every good thing that they had. Just like people born in America have inherited what they have. They didn't do the blood, the sweat, and the tears, and the sacrifice to get us to be the nation that we are. So they inherited the land that flowed with milk and honey, but they had forgotten how they got there. They'd forgotten what their forefathers did to achieve that by God's grace. And God reminded that unthankful generation that when they were a young nation, God loved them as His own son, and He called them out of Egypt. Remember, we learned that in verse 1 and 2, how He called them out of that land where they had been held in bondage. And after God brought them into the promised land, God blessed that nation, and God conquered their enemies, and God grew their fathers into a mighty nation. And then the next generations turned from God, the God that brought them out of Egypt, brought them into the promised land, and then began worshiping the false gods of the nations around them. So God sent prophets back to Israel to call them back to Him. But as we learned last week, the more those prophets called Israel to come back to God, the further Israel went away. And now this morning, as we move into verse 3, God enlarges upon Israel's history, telling us in verse 3, if you'll look there, I taught Ephraim also how to go. Now remember, Ephraim is a description of the northern kingdom of Israel. I taught Ephraim also how to go. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your precious word. We thank You so much, Father, for the richness and depth of Scripture. And I pray this morning, every eye will be upon you, every ear will be attentive to your word. Ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. You'll feed your precious sheep now. Amen. I taught Ephraim also to go. Now, long ago, when the Bible was translated into English, the word taught meant to lead or draw. Not draw like with a pen, but to lead and to draw someone along, okay? A teacher, when you're thinking about the word taught, well, how does taught mean to lead or draw? Well, a teacher can lead a person to an understanding of a subject. A teacher can help a person draw a certain conclusion, right? So there's a mental leading, there's a physical leading, there's a mental teaching and a physical kind of teaching. And God is not leading them in that sense when he says, I taught Ephraim also to go. But he's leading, or he's drawing them out of the land of Egypt when he says, I taught Israel also to go. He says, I drew Ephraim to go. In the Hebrew, God is literally saying here, I caused Israel to walk. I caused Israel to walk. That word to go, in the Hebrew, it means to walk, which is how they went. For 400 years, Israel was stuck in the land of Egypt. 400 years they were stuck there. Now, if you'll remember, in the Bible, the number 40 is the number of a complete test. A complete trial. So, 400 is a multiple of 40. So when you're looking at them being in Egypt for 400 years, we're looking at a long, drawn-out trial. A long, drawn-out test. For 400 years, Israel was tested in the land of Egypt. You know what that test concluded? Do you know what the results of that complete trial concluded? It concluded that Israel had every chance they could get to escape the land of Egypt on their own, and they could not do it. That's what it concluded. 400 years. Bro, they couldn't get out. You're following the spiritual truth to that, aren't you? It doesn't matter how strong you are, how powerful you are, how many descendants you have, how big and strong you grow. Doesn't matter what you have, you cannot get yourself out of bondage to sin, Satan, and death. It is absolutely impossible. For 400 years, God did not call Israel out of Egypt. For 400 years, God purposefully left that young nation of Israel in Egypt, giving them all the time they needed to plan, to strategize, and to execute their departure from that land. But for those 400 years, they remained in bondage to Egypt because they had no ability to leave. When God said he caused Israel to walk, that means Israel did not have the ability to walk unless God imparted that ability to them and made them able to walk. Israel was like a man lame on his feet who had no ability to leave the present situation he was in. That was Israel. So God caused him to stand up and walk. Man, this is rich, folks. God had to say to the lame man Israel, rise, take up thy bed and walk. That's what happened. God had to draw the impotent man out of Egypt. You got someone lame on their feet. They're stuck here in the miry clay. That's one way God describes it. They're stuck here in the miry clay. They're down here in the quicksand. They have no ability to get themselves out. And then a strong man comes along, grabs that person by the arm and the hand, and pulls them with his strength, not their strength, with his strength, up out of that miry clay and sets them on a rock that they can stand on. They drew them out of the miry clay. God's reaching over and drawing them out of that bondage because they have no ability to get out on their own. Church, everything that God is speaking about here concerning His deliverance of Israel from their bondage is alluding to Him delivering us out of our bondage. Hosea is speaking to them, yes, but that was just a brief little point of time in the world history. Primarily, by God speaking to Israel, He is speaking to us. The book of Hosea is written to us, His church. By prophesying of Israel, God is prophesying of us. When God says He caused Israel to walk out of Egypt, He is foreshadowing the Lord Jesus, who caused us to walk out of our bondage to sin, for we, like Egypt, were perfectly incapable of delivering ourselves. God said, I caused Israel to walk. Look back in your text. Taking them by their arms. Isn't that good? He's not talking about teaching someone to walk in the sense of saying, okay, now just put one foot in front of the other. That's not what God's talking about. He's talking about teaching them how to walk in the sense of drawing them, of grabbing their arm and saying, here, I'll lead you. I'll draw you with my strength. I'll bring you out of that land. Oh, man, taking them by the arms is how He did it. For they had no ability even to stand on their feet. Their 400 years in Egypt showed that they had no ability at all to deliver themselves, for they represented us who were dead in our trespasses and sins. The book of Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. You want to write that down in your notes or your margin. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, that means no ability at all, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus' death for the ungodly was the arm that reached down and pulled us people who were without strength, lame and dead in trespasses and sins, and taught us how to walk. Listen to me, no man has the capability. I mean, man has no capability whatsoever of making himself acceptable to God. None. He's lame on his feet. He is dead in trespasses and sins. We are all born in sin. We are all moral failures. We are without strength, being dead in our trespasses and sins. We are born in bondage to sin and death, and we are completely incapable of leaving that bondage unless God takes us by the arm and raises us from the dead and draws us out of that spiritual Egypt. In Mark chapter 5, verse 41, Mark 5, 41, a young woman had died. That young woman was dead. That young woman was on her bed. That young woman was without strength. She had no ability to rise, no ability to walk. And people in the house had lost all hope. But Jesus came, and the Bible says in Mark 5:41, and He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. There's the strength. There's the power that we need. Again, Romans 5, 6 says, when we were yet without strength, like that damsel, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, Jesus' death on the cross took helpless sinners like me and you by our arms, who had no ability to leave our bondage to sin and death and be reunited to our Creator. And the cross of Christ says, I say unto thee, arise. God said, that's what I did for Israel. Look back in your text. But they knew not that I healed them. God healed that damsel that was without strength. Jesus healed the lame people and says, arise, take up your bed and walk. And God healed Israel by grabbing them by the arms and giving them the strength to get up and go. by drawing them out. He healed them from their inability to escape the bondage they were in. The cross heals us from our inability to escape the bondage that we're in, because the bondage that holds us is sin. Sin is the mortal wound, and the cross is the immortal cure. Sin is that which takes away our strength. The death and resurrection is that which gives us our strength. And in that strength we walk and we live, and we're healed from our affliction of sin. The new generation of Israelites didn't believe what God did for their forefathers. They didn't give God the credit for bringing them into the promised land. They would not accept the fact that they were like lame men in Egypt. That's kind of a hard pill to swallow. They wouldn't accept the fact that God had healed them like lame men and caused them to walk out by His grace and His power. They thought they got there in the land of Egypt in their own, in land of Israel in their own strength, that they could retain their power in Israel in their own strength, but that's not what happened. Here's what happened. God said in verse 4, I'll tell you how you got here, Israel. He says, I drew them with cords of a man. That's how you got here. Remember, the word taught means to draw or lead. So He says, I drew them with cords of a man. Oh, my goodness, this is good, folks. God drew them out of Egypt. God drew them across the desert. God drew them into the promised land. And the only way they could stay there is if the God that drew them was the God that kept them. That's the only way. From start to finish, Israel was drawn by God. They were taught how to walk. Now, are you ready for an Old Testament blessing if you hadn't already got enough? In verse 3, underline the word taught. In verse 4, underline the word drew. And now in the Gospel of John chapter 6, the Gospel of John chapter 6, we're going to read verses 44 through 45 together. Jesus said, no man can. Now, what's the difference? We go back to our English grammar. What's the difference between can and may? Huh? Ability versus permission, says the homeschool teacher. That's right. May says, you have permission to. And let me tell y'all this morning, and I mean this with all my heart, I give all of y'all the permission to bring millions of dollars down here and lay at my feet. You may do that. But having the permission to do that and having the ability to do that are two different things. Maybe someone like Brother Shepherd, who's saved every cent he's ever earned, he may have the ability to do it. But see, that's the difference. May and can. Jesus says no man can. He didn't say no man may. Everyone may come. He said no man can come to me unless the Father which has sent me, there we go again, there's our word, draw him. He just doesn't have the capability. Why? Because we're like lame men on our feet. We're totally incapable of rising up on our own, following those Ten Commandments perfectly, being that holy, acceptable person, and just walking right up to Jesus and saying, here we go. I'll just walk right into the promised land with you. I'll just go right into heaven with you. I'll just go right up to the cross with you. We don't even have the ability to come to the knowledge of Christ as our Savior, even as a sinner, because we are flesh. And in our fallen flesh, we are incapable of comprehending spiritual truth. Completely dark. We're born with a dead spirit, completely dark. No man can come to me unless the Father which has sent me draw him. So as Israel could not, had no ability, they had the permission to leave Egypt. They didn't have the ability to leave Egypt. And as Israel could not leave Egypt unless God drew them out, so we cannot come to Christ and believe on him as our Savior unless God draws us out as well. You just can't do it, Brother Doug. Can't do it. Absolutely impossible. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, take him by the arm, pick him up, and draw him out, just like he drew those people out of Egypt. And Jesus said, the person the Father draws, he said, I will raise him up at the last day. Listen now, if you're in John 6 in your Bible, underscore the word draw. Now we're going to get to verse 45, and it is written in the prophets, and they all shall be what? They shall all be taught of God. There we go again. Man, isn't that good? Man, I'm telling you, Hosea is not talking primarily to Israel. They're talking to me and you. They're talking to the church. We got God, people who are taught of God, people who are drawn of God. What we're learning about Israel, we're learning about us. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. How does God pick us up by the arm and draw us out? How does God take weak, impotent people who are without strength, who are dead in their trespasses and sins, and picks them up by the arm and draws them out? He does it by giving them the truth of the gospel. He does it by the Holy Spirit taking that dark mind and enlightening their understanding so they can see. And by coming to the understanding that Jesus, when we were yet without strength, in due time died for the ungodly, then that lame, impotent person who has no strength to please God suddenly sees that Jesus pleased God on the cross on his behalf, and suddenly he has the ability to please God. Amen. He has the ability to please God not by standing up and doing it, but by looking and believing on the one who did it on their behalf. That's how God draws us out, with the truth of what Christ has done. Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him that way. Folks, and he says, and everyone the Father draws that way, he says, I'll raise up at the last day. If you have come to the knowledge of the truth of what Jesus did for you on the cross, if that enlightenment has come to your eyes, you've been taught of God. You've been drawn off on your feet. And God never grabs anyone by the arm and pulls them up on their feet without raising them up from the dead of the last day. He doesn't draw you up out of the pit without taking you up to the throne with Christ. God taught them. God drew them. For no man can come to Jesus except the Father do so. Now notice that God said he drew them with cords of what? Cords of rope? Cords of hemp? Cords of a man? Oh, are you getting this? God drew Israel out with the cords of a man. He took a rope. Man, y'all have seen this now. You got someone drowning out in the water. And you got someone, they come, they got a life preserver on a rope. And they throw that life preserver to them. And they say, hang on to that. And they draw them out with that rope to the shore. Or they're down in a well. Like Joseph was. And they can't get out of that pit they're stuck in. And so they lower a rope down. They lower a cord down. Remember, what was her name there? She lowered the people down by the cord on from Jericho. Rahab. I got everybody's name, but Rahab. This was not in my notes. That was a cord, okay? And so, same way here. They lower this cord down in a pit, and then they pull these people up with this cord. God said, I drew Israel out with a cord, but it was a cord of a man. I used a man like a rope to pull them out. Do you know what man God used like a rope to pull Israel out? He used Moses. He took Moses, and he said, I'm going to commission you to go and bring my people out of their bondage. He sends Moses in, and Moses tells them how to take a lamb and shed that lamb's blood and put that lamb's blood on the doorpost of their house so God can pass over them, but he won't pass over Pharaoh's house. He won't pass over anybody else's house unless that house has the blood of the lamb shed for them on it. And Moses taught them how to do that. They put that on there, and through the power of the Passover lamb, God drew them out of Egypt. Following Moses all the way, who was following God all the way. And Moses got that staff of God in his hand. And God, through Moses, drew them out. And through Joshua, drew them in. That's what God did for us. Moses was a picture of Jesus. The Apostle John said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He drew them with cords of a man. How does God draw us out? With the cords of a man. The same way. As God drew Israel out of Egypt by the man Moses, so God drew the church out of sin and death by the man Christ Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32. John chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Whew, there's Jesus. He said, you just lift me up on that cross from the earth. Man, they nail him on that cross. They then take that cross and they raise him up for people to see. And there's Jesus lifted up. He says, you lift me up like that? That's how I'm going to draw people to me. They don't have the ability to. Only God. God has to draw them. How does God draw them? Jesus already said, no man can come to me unless the Father which has sent me draw them. The Father has to draw them. But then the Father says, I drew them with the cords of a man. And so the Father draws them, but he uses the cord of Christ, the man, to draw them. So Jesus said, yeah, the Father's going to draw you, but here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to be lifted up from the earth on the cross, and through that I will draw all men unto me. He is the cord of God's grace that draws us by teaching us God's truth. God sent Jesus to be lifted up from the earth on the cross, that Jesus, through the preaching of the cross, might draw us from our bondage to sin and death. Jesus, crucified for our sins, is the cord that draws us from our bondage. The preaching of Christ crucified draws us. Look back in your text now. It draws us with bands of love. Isn't that wonderful? With bands of love. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? Speaking of that serpent on the pole that was lifted up. He said, that's a picture of me. And then he told Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Should not perish in their bondage. Should not perish in their spiritual Egypt. But he loved them so much, he gave me so that you could have everlasting life. Oh, what an amazing picture God painted for us in the Old Testament. How can anybody read this and doubt the gospel of Jesus Christ? God said, I drew them out, look back in your text, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. So we've got a yoke here. We've got an ox out in the field. That ox has a yoke on its neck, or a bridle or whatever that beast of whatever the beast of burden is going to have, and they've got it on their neck, around their jaws, and they're pulling that burden, that plow, or they're pulling with the grind mill or whatever they're doing, and they're pulling that burden behind them. And God says, I drew Israel out. And when I drew them out, he says, I was to them as the person that comes along to a beast of burden and takes that yoke, starts untying those straps and that big old heavy yoke, tying it from their head, their jaws, their bridle, whatever they've got, and I pull it off of them. I take the bit out of their mouth. I take the yoke off their neck. I take the bridle off their head. I release everything that binds them to the burden that they were pulling. And I just take it off. And I set them free. And I relieve them from that burden. God's saying, I was to Israel like someone who lovingly takes the yoke off a weary ox, who's been tied the burden and sets him free. By dying for our sins, Jesus removes the yoke of sin. He removes the burden. By enduring the penalty of the law, Jesus removes the burden of the law. It's been tied to our jaws ever since our birth. And he replaces the yoke of bondage with the yoke of mercy and grace in its place. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus tells sinners, take my yoke upon you. I'll remove that yoke off of your jaws. I'll pull it off of your neck and your back. You take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest, not to your body, but unto your souls. God said, I took that yoke off of them, look back in your text, and I laid meat unto them. That is, I put food in front of them. I gave them food to eat after I took the burden off of them. I gave them food to eat after I drew them up and set them on their feet and drew them across that land and brought them out of bondage and brought them back to life. I then set food before them, that they may be filled with strength and have the power to live the life that I called them to live. Man, God doesn't just take the yoke off of us. God doesn't just bring us out of Egypt to die. He sets food before us to continue our life and to be filled with his mercy and grace. God didn't simply bring them out of Egypt, but he empowered them to thrive and to conquer their enemies as well. When they leave Egypt, they get out of Egypt, and what does God do? They can't get across that desert without some kind of nourishment. God gives them manna. The manna was a picture of Jesus who came down from heaven to give life into the world. Jesus explained that in John chapter 6. And they ate that manna all the way into the promised land. And when they got into the promised land, the Bible says God stopped the manna and let them eat the old corn of the land. But all the way, man, on Passover night, they ate the lamb that died for them. Across the desert, they ate the manna, which was a picture of the lamb who would come to die for them. They get in the promised land, they eat the old corn of the land, the solid, meaty doctrines of the gospel, another picture of Jesus who died for them. But God gave them food just as much as he gave them liberty. And I'm standing before you this morning telling you I've been freed from my bondage to sin, but I am not some skinny, starving person who just escaped out of a prison camp. I am fat-fleshed. I am full. I am fed by the grace of God with His truth. And that's why Jesus said to those people, after they preached the gospel to them, after Jesus raises them up through His cross and the preaching of the cross of Christ, He told His pastors, feed my sheep. Get them full so I can get them going. He took them by the hand, healed them, and laid meat before them to eat. After Jesus took that young girl by the hand and raised her from the dead, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, the Bible says in Mark 5:43, and He charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. He always gives food after He gives life. He always gives food after He gives liberty. There's always food that comes with it. Here's a kingdom truth for you this morning. The gospel doesn't just get us up. The gospel keeps us going. Boy, I tell you what. Do you know what that means? The gospel doesn't just get us up. The gospel keeps us going. Nobody gets freed unless they get filled. You getting that? Give them food. Give them freedom. Nobody gets freedom unless they get filled by the food to keep going. That means what God starts, He always finishes. He's not going to get you out halfway and you get tuckered out on the way to heaven and you run out of strength. You got out by God's grace, by God's strength, and you get on there by God's food. He fills the belly. He gives the food. And man, He's going to take us all the way. He's not only going to get us up. He's going to get us going. Jesus is not only the cord that draws us out. He is the bread that keeps us going. From start to finish, salvation is all the grace of God. Israel received God's grace, and they were drawn from bondage. The problem was, the new generation had rejected God's grace. Thus, they would return to bondage. See how that works? Grace brings freedom. Grace brings fullness. But when you reject the grace of God, you reject the freedom of God, and you become empty, and you become dead in your trespasses and sins. There's only one way for a person to stand before God and enter into heaven, and that is by the grace of Jesus Christ alone. His merit, His strength, His power, His truth. In the moment someone says, no, it can't be by grace alone, they reject that grace. They're loosening their hand from that which pulls us from the miry clay. They're cutting their throat from the food that God fills us. And they're saying, no, thank you. I'll rise and walk on my own. Well, that won't work, folks, because we have 400 years of folks in the land of Egypt that prove it. It didn't work for the Israelites in Egypt. It won't work for a church member today. The only way that we can be saved is by the grace of Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I stake my hope for eternal life on that alone. It freed me, and brother, it fills me. And I hope you're filled too. Father, we thank You so much for Your precious word. I thank You for the message that You gave the Israelites. I thank You for the prophet Hosea. Lord, it's almost like Hosea is a New Testament apostle preaching the doctrines of Jesus. How powerful Your word is when it's seen through the lens of the cross of Christ. We're so thankful for applying this truth to us. And we pray, Lord, for the food that we're about to receive physically. You'll bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. And Lord, I pray that we'll have a wonderful time in fellowship. If there's anyone here today who does not know Christ as their Savior, they'll come up to us, Lord, and let us know so we can show them how they can be free from their sin too. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.